Welcome to the Kingdom Reformation Podcast with Glenn Blakeney. Here the fire of revival ignites hearts and fuels a supernatural move of God throughout the nations of the earth. Join us each week for prophetic insights, apostolic teaching, and powerful conversations that will equip you to live fully awakened in your kingdom purpose. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement. Learn more about us by visiting kingdomreformation.org. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
Hey, welcome to the Kingdom Reformation Show. My name is Glenn Blakeney, and today I have a special guest, Lois Flew-Welling, all the way from the United States. And Lois has written an amazing book, very prophetic and very significant for the season we're in. It's called Tenacious Warrior, Thriving Beyond Life's Trials. Lois, welcome to the Kingdom Reformation Show.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, so we're excited to have you as our guest and to talk about your book. Let's take a dive into the book, Tenacious Warrior. Why is it important for the season that we're in right now?
Well, you know, when God actually downloaded this book within me, and I believe that there is a movement taking place right now. I believe that this movement is really about the rise of authentic believers. These individuals, they're not going to be defined by the way that it used to be defined, the definition of that. It's really about conviction. And I'm talking unwavering conviction and purpose for the kingdom of God. And I think there's a resilience in this. And why I heard this cry from the Lord, and the Lord started to just speak to me about being intentional, about we need to get real as the body of Christ and just really trust him in so many ways. And so I think it's important, when I started writing this book, to be honest with you, it downloaded in a couple of weeks. That's the way God works in me. I will say this too, on the reason for this book, is because I think we've fallen short. We've lost the hope in some ways. We've lost a vigilant, a tenacity. That's why I called it tenacious warriors. We're not fighting like we should. Maybe I'm speaking of myself and the people around me, but there's a lot going on today in the world for so many different people, and we're battling for this next generation. And I know I am. And I think God spoke to me, and he's speaking to many others about it as well. We got to stand up and fight hard. And that's why I believe this book is important, because it gives some tools in this book. And they're advanced weapons, I believe, in this book. So that's reason why I think it's important for this season.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, previously we had you on and you talked about the wrecking ball prophecy. Now, I'd love to just go back and have you unpack that and how it relates to the book, Tenacious Warrior.
Well, it's, you know, when the Lord reminded me of that vision, then I knew the vision was significant. Because in that vision, when God gave that to me, what I saw was a street. And on the street was like two very modern buildings. But there was one in the middle that was just all worn out. And when people were walking around, they would walk off into the road, get off the sidewalk, and walk around the old building. And then I saw a crane with a wrecking ball. And the Lord just showed me how he was going in and he was going to take that. You know, it's like, it's almost like an implosion, but it's not. It just seemed to just hit right in the right place and everything went crashing down. But the pit that I saw was not the normal hole. It was a very dark pit. It was evil. It was just, and this is why people were walking around it. And the crane kind of moved back, and the Lord started to speak to me about this vision. And what I'm sensing is the church is changing. they can't do things the way they used to do it. It's not working. That old is not working. He's creating something new. As we all know, and we talk about, you know, I'm going to do a new thing. We all talk about that, but we never know just exactly what is that. But the Lord showed me that what's in there is the evil, the darkness was consuming a lot. It's underground. And he's going right after it. And we need to, as people, begin to recognize the depth of what we're facing here around the world. Yeah. If people don't understand that, then something's missing, I think.
We're in the shaking. There's so much stuff being torn down and dismantled. And yeah, God wants to build the new. And like you said, the whole idea of that darkness is underground. It's invisible in some ways. And you don't see it if it's underground, but the Lord's going after that. He's exposing it. He wants to remove it and restore his glory.
But here's the other part that really struck me with all of this. And it really spoke to me personally. It's like, he's talking to believers. He's saying, if you're in the body of Christ, you cannot be complacent anymore. That's why when I talked about, he's crying out for authentic believers, truth warriors. We've been just covering up stuff. We're in our own little world and we do our own little thing and everybody's happy. But now he's calling out and he's saying, I need my wrecking balls. Those people that will go in and just spiritually, I'm not talking about, the other, but spiritually wreck some of this stuff underneath that's going on.
So we're obviously in this season where God is, it's really not a season of destruction so much as, of course it is, things are being exposed, but the Lord wants to rebuild. And I always think about Jeremiah 1:10. It talks about, tearing up, uprooting, overthrowing, walking. And that's just to build and plant. And I think that's the season that we're in. And the wrecking ball, that word that you received was 3 years ago or so?
Yes.
Okay. And if you look at that and now look at where we are now, there's been a fulfillment, a great fulfillment of that. It's happening and it's continuing to unfold. So obviously it's prophetic, God speaking. He wants us to know what he says and what he says about the church. So let's just talk about living intentionally. I know you share about that in your book.
Mm-hmm.
Moving beyond doing the same old stuff to be intentional. What do you mean by that, Lois?
Well, the Lord was speaking to me, he gave me a word, and I heard this cry. It was a cry coming from, I think, the heart of God. He wants us as a body to begin to live intentionally for him. That means trusting in him, walking with him, wants the truth. He doesn't want falsities anymore, this complacency. He wants his body of Christ to rise up and become dependable disciples, warriors of truth. And their actions are genuine. It's not for position. It's not for power. It's all about what God has for us. And the Lord would say, this cry comes out of the heart of the people to me. I've heard your cry, says the Lord, the desires of your heart and your pursuit of holiness. Rise up, my sons and daughters, listen as I speak, for my thoughts and my ways are not your thoughts, nor your ways. And he goes, my ways are much higher. And when God said that to me, I thought, okay, we've been crying out to him.
Yeah.
We've been crying out. We want the real deal. That's why church people are leaving church. They're not receiving, they're not seeing the realness of it. And I believe what God is now crying out and saying, okay, I've heard the cry. Now, come on, people, let's rise up and be these tenacious warriors, because things are going on in our lives. I don't know about you, but there's a lot going on. I mean, families are really struggling with, you know, there's addictions and there's early deaths. There's all kinds of things happening that should not be happening. And God wants us to really rise up and fight for our generation, for this battle for them.
Amen.
And I just want to say this too, this intentionality, you know, the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to begin a mentoring group.
Okay.
And I haven't been doing as much just simply because of some things going on in my life. So I put it out there. I thought, okay, I'll have 12 people. 12 people that would really want to get mentored. I have over 20 some people that come into my home once a month. And what I'm seeing is these people are, there's not any competition. They're supportive of each other. They are transparent with each other. They're not in this place where they have to pretend to be something they're not. They're just being real. And rising out of this group, which I've been doing for probably 5 months now, we have a person that is now mentoring teens. We have another one that is establishing a group for those who have had abortions. We have another one that has begun an addiction group and helping those who are, we have another one that is worship leader and training up anointed worship leaders. Now, when I'm, and they're applauding each other. This is the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? This is when I'm taught, they're fighting for themselves and for others.
I love that, Lois. That's what the body of Christ is all about. And fivefold ministry is to obviously equip the saints, build up the church, but to see this happening, that we would see others raised up and equipped and stepping out and doing what God's put in their heart and called them to do. That's so good. Yeah.
Right.
So good. Yeah. Okay. Well, we've been talking a lot about on the Kingdom Reformation, just about shifting from that kind of Sunday centric event oriented, where everybody comes in a building versus getting people outside of the building. And I remember the early days of COVID when it first happened, I saw some posts on social media, the church is outside of the building. And my initial response was, well, actually, I think it's going to require a little bit more than just, I hate to say this, a pandemic for the church to change. And the pandemic did not change the church. The church was locked outside of the building, and there are individuals and other ministries that really have pivoted and adapted to the new season we're in. But then things post-COVID are very different.
Yes,
and
they
God are. God is definitely restoring and basically recalibrating the church. And you mentioned that the Lord has called us to be an army. Like we think of Ezekiel 37, for example, and that in this season, it requires a new stance, a major call to action, and a divine partnership with the Lord. So how does this affect the church embracing this, this major call to action, divine partnership, and new stance?
Well, I think we're called to influence in a better way. It's in our workplaces. You know, I've been in the workplace for years. I closed my practice now. So it hasn't been just ministry, but I have been in the marketplace. And I believe that these leaders that I'm seeing, they're just need to influence, but like get out there, get outside of things, just on a regular way. And what I was thinking about this, and I was looking through some things, and I wrote about it in my book. But you know, when the people, the Israelites, came up to the Red Sea and they stopped there, and there were some things that really struck me with all of that. And I believe that's what God is saying to us today. And I'll just mention a little bit here, but he says to them, it's in Exodus 14, but he said, stop crying. Stop operating in fear. Shift out of the old mindset. This is the new army. This is what this new army has got to, it has to take place. And then God said to me, order them to get moving, meaning stop wallowing in all of your stuff. It spoke to me, you know, stop wallowing, stop believing all these lies about yourself and your identity that you feel like can't even get anywhere. And then he says, hold your staff up high. Well, to me, that's like, start believing again in yourself and what you're capable and who he is inside of you. This army is not going to be flesh-based. We're going to go out there and we're going to move in ways. I thought, what am I doing here, Lord? You brought me down here. What are you doing? And I can figure it out. But the next morning, I came in contact with a woman who had cancer. She was afraid. She was desperate. I had the opportunity to lead her to Christ. I helped her and pray for healing over her. And I believe this is what God's saying to us. Get out of yourselves. We need to get out of ourselves and start walking in ways that we can affect. This person kept on saying, well, you know, I'm not really into that stuff. But I'll tell you, she got hit by the anointing of the Holy Spirit and her life is changed. And maybe it's just one. But you know what? I believe that. And I said to the Lord, I said, is this why you brought me all the way down here? And he said, yes, I wanted you to. This lady needed to meet me. And if we look at it that way, if we stop this, like, you know, saying, given all the reasons why we can't, and start looking at why we can. Now, I know there's many evangelists out there, and I know there's people that are, but we have to start taking these action steps and get ourselves in a better place so that every one of us, not just a few, but every one of us are stepping out and taking actions, and we're going to experience these miracles.
Yeah, that's great. You talk about the plumb line, Lois, and I've heard you share about that before as well. There is this plumb line, and prophetically we see that in, I think it's in Zechariah. What's happening now in terms of, we're in this intense season of shaking across the nations. It's really happening all over the place. So can you just help us, like, unpack this divine shift that's taking place right now and how it relates to God's new plumb line for the church?
Well, maybe this is a harsh word, but there's crookedness in the religious system.
Come on.
And many of us have experienced that crookedness. And we've been pushed out and more are being pushed out. And I think there's a deception, the compromise, the unfaithfulness. I mean, I don't think God's tolerating it anymore. And this is part of the new plumb line that he is setting up. And so I know in my own, I mean, what God's been revealing to me, there's a divine shift, and you know it too. There is that shaking. There is that shifting going on. But what are we going to do about it? You know, are we going to really listen to him and start changing our ways and start entering in? Because I'll tell you, God's new plumb line is an invitation into what I call transformation.
Wow.
It's going to start with us as individuals and then with the church. I mean, you know, I have a church and what I'm noticing is when we start doing this, this new camera is going to challenge us. It's going to be like, you know what? We're going to become bold. We're going to become, you know, I think this unshakable faith. We've got to stand up and be strong. And I think we have to, you know, expect the impossible. That's the new plumb line that God's been revealing to me.
Yeah, Lois, that's so true. And something you said just leaped to my spirit, and that is, are we going to listen to God? And that's the key, right? Like, think about Jesus when he was on the earth. He was preaching and doing ministry, walking among these religious leaders who he actually said in John 5, you've never heard the voice of
right.
my Father, right? Mm-hmm. So they weren't listening. They're just doing things based on tradition, based on what they thought was right. And it was crooked. And the Reformation that we're in is about the crooked ways being made straight.
Exactly.
And it's so true. We need the plumb line of God's word, but listening to Holy Spirit, what is God saying? As leaders in particular, let's just speak to those who are leading in whatever capacity in the body of Christ right now. You could be in a business, you could be a church leader, ministry, itinerant, whatever. It's all about listening, and we have to come low. We have to humble ourselves and be broken and hungry for the presence of Jesus. And I feel the purification process is seeing Jesus return to his rightful place in our lives, ministries, in the church. And for me, that's so important. And I feel there are new expressions of ministry. And what you're doing, for example, in Maine, in the northeastern United States, I'd love for people just to kind of get a snapshot of what it looks like. There are so many new expressions of ministry that maybe some criticize it. Oh, it's not this, it's not that, it doesn't fit the model that they expect, but, or there's, you know, these 20 or 30 or 40, 50 people, whatever it may be, that are doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. But we're in a time where we're seeing a restoration of home churches. We're seeing a restoration of, you know, more apostolic equipping centers, so many different expressions. And tell us about what's happening in your ministry and the ecclesia that God's entrusted to you in Maine, and what that looks like.
Well, I believe it's an apostolic hub. And I find it unique that it's in a small community. It's a small group, but I reach a bigger region. For example, I mentioned the mentoring group. You know, they're from an hour or more away, and they're willing to travel here. So it's about discipling. It's about positioning them into their calling and their destiny for what they are about and what they should be about. So it's like I've been speaking on the Holy Spirit now for 3 months because they don't ever talk about the Holy Spirit. They don't talk about listening. They don't understand the importance of that because that's part of God's new plumb line. We walk with him. We're listening to him. We're doing what he's asked us to do. And so that's what we're about here. Sometimes I get really discouraged. I've been put down. Oh, you guys are not really much of anything. But then God will remind me, listen, it's not about the number that you have. It's about what you are building out here, what you're doing for the kingdom of God in a bigger region area. And so I find that, yes, there's times when I've just wanted to quit. I wanted to just stop because I didn't feel it effective. And God says to me, you're doing more than what you think you are. Yeah. And so I want to encourage these people that are doing these smaller ministries or hope. But I believe that God wants you to know that you're doing more than you think you are. You are building and creating and discipling, and people are coming into the very things that they need. Plus, we're bringing back those that are lost. Hmm. I don't know. I feel like I need to share this story with you. I had a person that is a part of our church, our ministry, and her daughter lived several hours away on the coast. She went missing. She got into some bad stuff. The Lord started, this mother was going to give up. And she'd been coming to every course I had, and she contacted me and she says, Lois, she said, I feel like the Lord is telling me I need to go to this particular place. The Lord is showing me where my daughter is.
Oh, wow.
So she went by the leading of the Lord. She stood outside the house and called the police. Police entered in. Her daughter was wrapped in a rug underneath the table, ready to be placed on a boat and thrown overboard.
Wow. My goodness.
Because this woman had been trained up to trust for the impossible and these things, she believed God. She was like, I'm going to go after it. I'm going to go and be a warrior. I'll tell you what, her daughter today is in my church. And this girl is living a life. I mean, she got saved because of the tenacity of this mother.
Wow.
So, yeah, a new plumber? Yeah, I think so. This is what God's calling us to do.
Wow. So powerful. And look, I just want to comment for those who are listening or watching this interview. My guest again is Lois Flewelling, and we're talking about her book, Tenacious Warrior, which is about thriving beyond life's trials. And it is definitely a time of refining, you know. You see that God's doing a deep work. And I love Malachi 3 because it talks about God drawing near to his people. And the context is, it's not like, oh, it's going to be amazing. No, he said, actually, there's going to be two things that are going to happen. There's going to be a swift witness in judgment against those who are corrupt, the things that are crooked. And
right.
And then secondly, those who are humble and will submit to him, he's going to be a refiner's fire.
Right.
So all of us are going into the fire. If you're not in there yet, don't worry. You will be. If you love God and you want his will to be done in your life, absolutely. But Lois, I feel so strongly that what the Lord is doing in terms of these manifestations and emergence of new ministries in different ways, that's what his fingerprint is on. Again, I'm not against large churches. There are churches that are large that have great influence and they're godly and they're doing a great job. But what we're seeing now is a time where the Lord is really calling us to equip and raise up and release his people. I believe Ephesians 4, particularly starting at verse 7, but then when you hit verse 11, talks about the fivefold ministry.
Yes.
And we've kind of put a period or a full stop where it was just meant to be a comma because it is to equip the saints.
Yes.
To build up the body for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. The body of Christ raised up. You know, it's right. Not just every person doing their own thing, but it's ministry in the power of the Spirit as one. And I love what's taking place in the body of Christ right now. God is bringing people together in that space. Your doing is powerful. It's effective. The early church outside of Jerusalem, you know, I read something recently. They said they met in homes. We know that. But the largest gathering on record that they're aware of in terms of the size of a home church, 70 people. They found this one house. They knocked down the walls and made it bigger. So when Paul's writing to the churches, you know, that's what he's speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
But there was multiplication. People were being raised up. They were being sent out. They were being empowered, like what you're doing in your mentoring. And these are the ones, Acts 17:6, that have turned the whole world upside down. Wow. Wow. Very exciting.
Yeah.
In closing, let's give our listeners, our viewers, the opportunity to get a hold of your book. We have the URL, the website here on the screen. It's loisflewelling.com. You can grab a copy of the book right from Lois's website, also on Amazon. And Tenacious Warrior, loisflewelling.com. For those listening to the podcast, it's loisflewelling.com. So loisflewelling.com. Grab a copy of the book and we know it will impact your life. Thank you, Lois, so much for being my guest here on the Kingdom Reformation Show. What a great discussion on the kingdom of God and how the Lord is using you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Hey everyone, Glenn Blakeney here. Are you passionate about revival and reformation? Do you want to deepen your understanding of fivefold ministry and how to advance the kingdom in every sphere of life, including the marketplace? Well, then join the Kingdom Reformation Leaders Community today. We offer a free subscription to get you started, as well as a monthly plan that provides valuable content and insights. For those seeking even more, our Leaders Plan includes all-inclusive access to a wealth of resources focused on church leadership, apostolic movements, prophetic ministry, and much more. You can engage in live sessions and discussions that explore how to effectively implement these principles in your life and community. With our monthly leaders training featuring esteemed kingdom leaders from around the globe, you'll be equipped to make a transformative impact. Don't miss this chance to grow in your calling and to contribute to the movement of revival and reformation, advancing the kingdom of God to cities and nations. Sign up for the Leaders Plan or any other subscription at kingdomreformation.org today.